How's everybody doing this afternoon? Well, my name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel, and we are continuing a series that we started several weeks ago, about 3 weeks ago, and it's called Forgotten God. And we're going to be talking all about the gifts of the Holy Spirit today. We're actually going to go from 1 Corinthians 12 all the way through 1 Corinthians 14. And I just wanted to start off by telling you guys a story. The gifts of the Spirit were really new to me when I was 20 years old. I didn't get born again or saved until I was 25 years old. And basically, when I was 20 years old, I lived in Murfreesboro, and I had a townhouse by myself, and I was pretty much thinking I was the big man on campus. I had a car. I had, you know, money in the bank, and I thought life was pretty good. And what I didn't understand is that I had a mom who was filled with the Holy Spirit and operated in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit let her know some things about me one night. It was late one night when I had a young lady over to my apartment, a little later than what she should have been there. And back in the day, we had these things called answering machines. Anybody remember an answering machine? And they would actually, you'd have to push a button to get your voicemail. And I was at night, and I had this young lady to the house, and all of a sudden I hear the phone ring, and I hear my mother talk. And she said something like this: "Where are you, and who are you with?" And I'm thinking to myself, this is not what I need to be hearing or wanting to hear at 20 years old. And it let me know right then there that my mom had God on her side. How did she know what I was doing and that I was with anybody at all? And it scared me. This was my introduction to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And if you're a parent in here, you want to pay close attention that the Holy Spirit can let you know what's going on with your children. And so we've talked about for the last 3 weeks, we've talked about that the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity, that he is our comforter, he's our counselor, he's our advocate, he's our friend, that we can have a personal relationship with the Holy Spirit, and that he can still speak to us today. And we're going to be talking about, in 1 Corinthians 12, these things called the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. And this might be new to you, it might be foreign to you, it might be weird to you, or for some of you, I have a feeling that it might be like, you know what, I've known about these things. I used to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit where he would tell me about things and I would minister to people, but that since then, my relationship with the Holy Spirit has gone cold. Well, I believe today that God wants to reinvigorate and reestablish you in a relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I believe today, if this is brand new to you today, I believe that God wants you to investigate, to open up your eyes, and that the Spirit of God would reveal to you the purpose and the power of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it's also important that we don't just seek the power of the Holy Spirit without seeking the person of the Holy Spirit. Some people, they get so enthusiastic about the power, but they forget the person. And when we only seek him for power, I believe it grieves him. And we see that in the Bible in Acts chapter 8, there was a man named Simon. He was a magician that basically, he went around impressing people with his tricks and with his evil powers. And we find out in verse 18 and 19 of Acts chapter 8 that Simon saw the Spirit was given, or the Holy Spirit was given, at the laying on of the apostles' hands. And he offered them money for the Holy Spirit. He said, "Give me this ability so that anyone whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit." See, we do the Holy Spirit a disservice when we treat him as if he is a magic trick or if he is a commodity that can be bought and sold. What we've been building up on over the last few weeks is having a personal, intimate relationship with God, the Holy Spirit, where God will speak to you, he will comfort you, he will counsel you. But because the gifts of the Spirit are not about us, we said last week was about you and your relationship with the Holy Spirit. This week we find out it's not about you at all. We actually find out early in our message today that the purpose of the Holy Spirit is for this thing called edification. Everybody say edification. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 12, it says, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts. And zealous basically means you desire them. Let it be for the edification of the church. This word edification means to build up. And it lets you know, and it says it multiple times. It says it in 1 Corinthians 14, 26. It says, let it all things be done for edification. It also says in 1 Corinthians 12, 7, for the profit or for the edification of us all. The reason why I believe that God puts this in the Bible is to build us up from where we are. So you might guys remember that song, Lean On Me, Pastor Ron, you remember that? There comes a time in your life when you're going to need somebody to lean on. And that happens to us a lot of times, that we go through situations, we go through problems with our kids, somebody say amen. You go through stuff financially, somebody say amen. Or you go through things in your body and you lean on a doctor, but the doctor can only do so much. Sometimes you need to lean on somebody else. And God puts these people called children of God in our way that are filled with the Holy Spirit and operate in the gifts of the Spirit. So when you need to lean on somebody, you can get encouragement. You can be built up, because when the Bible says the church needs to be built up, it doesn't mean the building needs to be propped up with 2x4s and iron beams. It means that the body of Christ, the people of God, need to be built up, because this world will weigh down on you. Has anybody ever been weighed down on? You didn't know how you would be able to stand. You didn't know how you would be able to go on. But the Bible says that you need to be edified. You need to be built up in your faith as an individual. Maybe your family needs to be edified. Maybe your marriage, somebody say amen to that, needs to be built up and edified. And through the power, the presence of the Holy Spirit, and through the gifts of the Spirit, God uses these things to build up the body of Christ. So now we know why the gifts of the Spirit are here. We're going to go through in detail what these 9 gifts of the Spirit are, and we're going to talk about how they work, how they are in operation. And the book of Corinthians, the first letter we know as 1 Corinthians, was written by this guy, the Apostle Paul. He wrote it to the church in Corinth. And this is probably the most jacked up church in the New Testament. When you read through the New Testament, you see the book of Galatians, the book of Ephesians, and you see the first and second book of Corinthians. And this first letter was written to answer a lot of problems and a lot of questions that they had in the church of Corinth. They had many issues, just like we face today in our country and even in the church. A lack of unity was in the church of Corinth. They had marriage problems. Anybody ever seen or heard of a marriage problem? It was all through the Corinthian church. They also had idolatry. They were worshiping false gods, something other than the Lord Jesus Christ. They had conflict. They had rampant sexual immorality in the church of Corinth. They even said that you are so gross that you invent new ways to sin in the church of Corinth. But also, the Apostle Paul uses 3 chapters to bring to our attention the gifts of the Holy Spirit, how the gifts of the Holy Spirit work in an operation, and he even told us the heart that we should have as we operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And so we find out by starting off in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start off there, and we're going to read through what these 9 gifts are. Are you ready for that? Say amen. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren or sistren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Now, it's important that he says that, because he left where he was in 1 Corinthians talking about all the issues, all the stuff, all the junk, all the issues in the local church. And then he says, I don't want you to be ignorant about this, because this is going to help you. He goes on to say that you know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. No one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Everybody say Jesus is Lord. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Basically, there's different types of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. See, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for service and for ministry, for building up others. It says there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Now here we go into our list in verse 8. For to one is given the word of wisdom. Everybody say the word of wisdom. Through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge. Through the same Spirit. To another, faith. By the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings. By the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. How many of you need a miracle in your life right now? You need a miracle. Only God can do it. A miracle is the supernatural power of God doing something that only He can do. We'll talk more about these gifts in just a second. It says, to another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. We're going to talk about tongues today because this is the one that everybody gets all messed up about. This is the one where people find out your church speaks in tongues. Oh, we got to go somewhere else. This is the one that divides denominations and causes fights between believers and has so many issues that the Apostle Paul wrote an entire chapter on its application in 1 Corinthians 14. It says, to another, the interpretation of tongues. And then in verse 11, it says, but to one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing each one individually, and this is key, as He wills. Now, this is not like Marvel superheroes where you got bit by a radioactive spider and now you're going to go test out your superpowers. This is not like this. This is the Holy Spirit giving supernatural gifts as He chooses to any believer. And it's important as we go through this that we understand this is not just for pastors. This is not just for church leadership. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to all who believe, whom the Holy Spirit resides inside of. Somebody say amen. And it's important to remember that some of you may have grown up believing that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are only for the time of the apostles in the New Testament. And now that day has passed, and so have the gifts of the Spirit. Well, I want you to know that that is not the truth. Number one is because we don't see it. Number two is because the Bible doesn't say that. We see that in the Bible that the Apostle Paul gave this letter to the entire church in Corinth. And we're going to see in here that he tells us a lot of different things. One of them is that we should desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. We're going to talk a lot about the gift of tongues. And regardless what you think about it, regardless of what you've said about it, there are some things in the Bible that are weird, but they're still biblical. Somebody say amen to that. And the Bible says, do not forbid speaking in tongues. He goes into a lot of great detail talking about these gifts. Therefore, we should take time to understand them. So the first things that we're going to look at, the first group of three out of the nine, they're called the revelation or the discerning gifts of the Holy Spirit. The first one is the word of knowledge. Everybody say the word of knowledge. This is supernatural information about someone. The fact that my mama called me in the middle of the night, not only did she know I was with somebody, I believe she knew I was doing some dirt that I shouldn't have been doing. That was a word of knowledge. And God used that to get my attention. He used that to help draw me closer to Himself. We can see it in John chapter 4, verse 17 through 18. I'm going to give you a lot of Bible that I'm not necessarily going to read but refer to. In John chapter 4, Jesus was walking with his disciples, and they decided to go through this area called Samaria. You guys remember where he stopped off at the well, and he started talking to this woman who was a Samaritan woman. And Jesus starts to read her mail. They start to have this really nice conversation, and then Jesus, he flipped the script, and he started to say things like, "Go get your husband." And she said, "Well, I don't have a husband, Jesus." Well, Jesus knew what was going on in her life. He said, "You're right when you don't have a husband. You've had five husbands, and the man you're living with is not your husband at all." That is the word of knowledge. Be careful when people operate in that. You think you got a good face, your smile, you got your makeup on, your dress on, but Jesus can see, the Holy Spirit can see through your smiles. He can see through all the stuff you're going through, and he can speak directly to your situation. Somebody say amen. The second one is the word of wisdom. This is a supernatural way of solving problems and situations. How many of you need that? I see this in my life all the time. There are some situations I go through, I just don't know what to do. Now, as a man of God, and just as a man, we hate being caught in situations where we don't know what to do. But when you really trust in God, the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. There are times when the Holy Spirit, he will give you a word of wisdom and supernaturally give you the right way to address a situation or to solve a problem. How many need that in parenting? You know, when you got more than one kid and both of you tell you that the other one did it, and you're like, what, you know, I don't know what to do. And then all of a sudden you get wisdom and you're like, how the heck did I answer that problem? God depositing words of wisdom and how to handle situations into your life. The third one is the discernment of spirits. The discernment of spirits. This is a supernatural awareness of the presence of usually the demonic spirits in operation. Now, I'm going to give you an example in my life. After I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and just to really quickly sum it up, when I gave my life to Jesus, I didn't know what I didn't know, and I wanted to receive everything about God that I could. So I came up to the front of the church. They basically asked me why I was there. I said I was in perversion, I was nasty, I was drinking, I was doing all this kind of stuff. I realize now it hurts the heart of God. I want to be made right with God. So I repented of my sins. I received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And they said, "Have you ever heard of the Holy Spirit?" They started to reveal scriptures like this week and last week and the last few weeks to me. And I said, "I want to receive everything that God has for me." And so I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, went back to work. And I didn't know how all this stuff works. All I knew was God was starting to speak to me. I was a director in the position that I had. I worked for the Department of Corrections with this federal grant that we had. And I had several people, about eight, that worked for me. And we were hanging out in the office. And one of the employees that I had that worked for me was a young lady. And I don't know what was going on with her. But she started to talk in this perverted, nasty way out of the blue. And I think she had, I don't know what was going on with her. But all of a sudden, this word came into my head. I'd never heard the word before, never seen the word on paper before, but I looked at her and I said, "You are a succubus." And I kind of jumped back. I didn't even know what the word meant, Pastor Lance. I was like, "That's weird." I said, "I don't even know what it is, but that's what you are." And I had to go look it up, to be honest. I had no clue what it was. And basically, a succubus is a term used for a sexual demon in the form of a woman. And that was the Holy Ghost, because I had no idea what that was. And God giving us a spirit, a discerning of spirits, will keep you away from some wrong folks that you need to get out, or be able to call out things that they don't need to be. I remember there's times, Pastor Lance, I didn't say this. See, the third service is good. Y'all get all the goodies. My mama used to cast the devil out of me so much when I was a teenager. She would say, "Get behind me, Satan." And I would just, "What are you doing? Don't say stuff like that." But can you imagine how these gifts, how they need to be in operation in the life of a believer so that you can deal with situations? As a pastor, I rely on the gifts of the Holy Spirit in marriage counseling. What about in your life when you've got career decisions that need to be made and you need the wisdom, you need the knowledge of God, you need to discern what the heck is going on? Or what, and just dealing with your kids. God, we need a whole bunch of blessings just to deal with our kids. You can have a whole lot of blessings just to deal with our kids. Okay, the second group that we're going to talk about are vocal and what's called declarative gifts. These are speaking gifts. Now, one that we're very familiar with is called the gift of prophecy. And I'm going to make this one really, really simple. A prophetic word, it doesn't necessarily mean that you've got a, thus says the word of God. If God gives you, that would be weird. Don't be weird. Just be normal. But it's a message of encouragement from one to another. It is to exhort, that's our word, to build up, to comfort, to refresh, and to edify. This is also what the Apostle Paul says is the most desirable of the nine gifts of the Holy Spirit. He says to desire spiritual gifts. And this is funny. We see this in the first part of 1 Corinthians 14. He says, desire spiritual gifts, especially that you might prophesy, or the gift of prophecy. And the fact that the Apostle Paul tells us that we need to desire this, we need to check our heart on what we think about these gifts. If they're not in operation in our life, there's a problem. It's kind of like if there's a check engine light on them in my car, what does that tell me? There's a problem. If the gifts of the Spirit are not in the born-again, Spirit-filled believer, that means something's going on. Maybe I'm not hearing God the way that I should be. And so the gift of prophecy helps to edify, helps to exhort, it helps to comfort. Now, the big one that really gets the church in all kinds of chaos, which one do you think is the most controversial of all the nine gifts? Say, how'd y'all know that? It's the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. Now, we're going to break this down, and I'm going to spend a few moments to deal with this particular gift. We see it talked about in 1 Corinthians 12, and we talk about it in 1 Corinthians 14. The one that we usually skip is 1 Corinthians 13. Now, we have to pay attention that God doesn't just take 1 Corinthians 13 and put it to the side. When you read your Bible, it's actually a continuation of the same thought in context to the spiritual gifts. So he sets up the spiritual gifts in 1 Corinthians 12. He talks about all the gifts. Then he says in 1 Corinthians 13, love should be the guiding force behind how we utilize all of these gifts. He says, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. But then he goes on with the very next breath. You throw my Bible to me, champion. If you guys got a Bible, you got it open, turn to 1 Corinthians 14. Upside down doesn't help. Let's see. I wanted to read the whole thing to you, but we didn't have time for all that. But you see where it says 1 Corinthians 13. A lot of us know this. We read it in weddings. It says, now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is what? Right? And then the very next verse, we have separated as humans these into chapters, but this was one continuous letter. The very next verse that we see is pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, and above all, that you may prophesy. Now, as we start to talk about speaking in tongues, there's two types of tongues that we need to think about. One is tongues for the individual. The Bible says that he who speaks with a tongue edifies himself. Or you can actually be built up yourself when you speak in tongues. When you look at 1 Corinthians 14, chapter 14, verse 14, it says that he who prays with a tongue, actually his spirit prays. This is where we get that phrase, praying in the spirit or praying in tongues comes from that. And when you pray as an individual in tongues, your spirit is praying. And we see in the book of Jude, which is the book before Revelation, in verse 20, it says, you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. See, all of the gifts of the Spirit, we see the nine, are built for edification for the church, for the entire church. But praying in the Spirit is for you as an individual to build yourself up on your holy faith. And it is basically what it says in 14:14 is your spirit is praying. It's not fruitful to your mind because you don't know what the heck you're saying, but your spirit himself is praying. Now, that is different than the gift of tongues that we see in operation in a church. Now, we're going to take a couple of minutes to look at this. The first thing that we're going to look at is in verse 6. It says, "Now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall it profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation or by knowledge or by prophesying or by teaching?" He's saying if we all come together and we're talking in tongues in the church, it's not going to edify you because you don't know what I'm talking about. That's why it says in the Bible that unless you have an interpretation of the tongue, which it would be equivalent to prophecy, don't do it because it confuses people who are not aware of what you're saying, and people that are not saved think you're crazy. Right? And how many already know that people think the church is crazy enough? In verse 13 of chapter 14, it says, "Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret." And then drop down to 18. "I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all." One thing he wants to do throughout this is familiarize you with tongues. This is not crazy. We said last week, Pastor, this is not fringe Christianity where this is on the verge of being really Christian. No. He says he prays in tongues all the time and that you should do this as well. In verse 19, and this is our point, and this is where we get clarity in how to utilize this gift to the entire congregation. It says, "Yet in the church." Everybody said, "In the church." "I would rather you speak five words with understanding that I may teach others also than 10,000 words in a tongue. Because if I got up here and I spoke in tongues for 30 minutes and then you left, then you're not going to have a lot of amens and hallelujahs and praise God for that." Right? But in verse 23, it says, "Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, then there comes those who are uninformed or unbelievers. They will say, 'You're out of your mind, you're crazy,'" which is what we just read. So there's a difference between tongues. There's the tongues that build up the individual. When you pray in the Spirit, when you're praying in tongues, that is for you. That's a gift God gave you. You can exercise that gift as often as you want to pray. But the other one is called the gift of tongues that follows an interpretation inside the local church. Does that make sense? Everybody say yes. All right. Now we're going to move on to what's called the power gifts. How many guys like power? See, in the book of Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you." The first one is the gift of faith. This is supernatural occurrence of faith, which is not like regular faith, like we're going to believe God to wake up tomorrow, we're going to believe God to drive down the street and not get hurt. But this is a supernatural occurrence of faith. We see it when Jesus was on the boat with his disciples and he said, "We're going to go yonder, we're going to go to the other side." Now, the thing about this that required faith is because there was a huge storm that came, and the storm was so big and so crazy that these trained fishermen, professional fishermen, were afraid that they were going to die. But the word that Jesus gave them is, "We will go to the other side." This was a word of faith. I've seen this in my life as well. There was a man named Rick Butler who got in a car accident several years ago at our church in Murfreesboro. And me and a few other men were in the Nashville area. We went to the hospital. We saw his family there. And his car was totaled. We didn't know if he was going to live. And then the doctor comes in and says, "If he lives, he will never walk again." And it seemed like all together we said, "That is not our God. He will walk and he will live." Now, how do we know? Am I a doctor? Say no. Do I look like a doctor? Say no. Thank you. I appreciate that. Wish I had Dr. Money. Anyway, it's the glasses. It does that, doesn't it? But we had no way of knowing if this man was going to live or if he was going to walk again. But the Spirit of God rose up inside of us, and we said, he will live. He will walk again. And I don't know how to explain it. All I know is with 100% certainty, we knew that God was going to make it happen. And I want you to know, he did live, and he does walk to this day. And it's the power of God in operation through that gift of faith. The second one, which is very familiar to some, is the gift of healing. How many of you guys have needed healing in your life? Now, I want you to be very careful with this one. We love doctors. We love hospitals. We love medicine. But sometimes they don't know what the heck they're doing. Some situations go beyond medical understanding. Some places they don't have access. And even when they do have access, they still can't fix the problem. Most medical situations today, they try to band it, but they don't know how to fix everything. And then we trust that the Holy Spirit, this gift of healing, there are some people who believe, they believe that if they prayed for somebody, supernaturally, God would heal them. And this is important about these particular gifts of the Spirit, is that some of these gifts have been in operation in your life. Some of these gifts of the Spirit need to be in operation in your life. And a lot of times because of fear or because of misunderstanding, we think it's only for the people on the front row or for the pastors. They need to be the ones praying. They need to be the ones prophesying. They need to be the ones laying on of hands and seeing miraculous things happen. No, sometimes it's God using you as a believer. Sometimes it's God choosing you, the Holy Spirit saying, I'm going to give you a word for somebody. I'm going to give you a word of knowledge for somebody. But it all comes through you trusting the Spirit of God. Somebody say amen to that. See, I wrote this down in my notes that having the Holy Spirit available to us is not the same as making ourselves available to the Holy Spirit. So I really want to challenge you, question you, whatever it takes to get you to the point where you will say, God, if I am not in operation of these gifts and you want me to be, God, I open up my life to you. If I need to be walking down Kroger aisle or I'm in my neighborhood, in my backyard, and you give me a word of knowledge for my neighbor, you don't have to be weird again. You don't have to say, thus says the word, neighbor. That would be weird, and they would run from you, and so would I. But it just simply means that you talk to them, and you say, look, man, this might sound weird, but I believe God has a word from you. I don't know if you're sick or if you're hurting, but I believe God can supernaturally heal you. Do you mind if I pray for you? And you allow what the word of God says, the word of faith, healing the sick. Somebody say amen. The last one is the gift of working of miracles. This is a supernatural situation where only God can change what's going on. We see this in Jesus. Jesus spoke to dead Lazarus to come forward. And we see a dead man coming back to life. Now, how many of you agree that is a miracle? All right? We've seen something similar to that in this church before. A man named Gerald Lee, life-lighted to Vanderbilt, died on the helicopter. Word gets out. People start praying. Dead Gerald becomes live Gerald again. And now Gerald is still on our worship team to this day. God does do miracles, regardless of what you think, regardless of what you've heard, regardless of any unanswered prayer that you may think he never answered. He still does these things. Somebody say amen. And again, they don't belong to you. They belong to the Holy Spirit. And he gives each one as he chooses. Any believer can be chose to use any of these gifts at the choosing of the Holy Spirit. I want to pray for you today. I'm going to close. I believe maybe God has opened up some eyes or at least made you a little more inquisitive. It's my prayer that he's taken away some weirdness from some stuff you may have seen. Even though you may have seen some weird people do weird things, it doesn't mean that it's still not biblical. It's my desire that God would normalize your relationship with the Holy Spirit to the point where you can hear him speak and you would respond to him. Father, thank you so much for today. God, I pray that you would do what only you can do, God. You can speak to the hearts of men and women. I pray that you would stir up the gifts of God inside of us today. All of your children who are born again, who are filled with your Spirit, God, you desire to utilize these spiritual gifts to build up the church. God, I pray that you would build up this church to the point of where, God, people hear about what you're doing and they are excited to come, not for the church, not for the people, but to hear you, Lord. That they would come to the knowledge of Jesus, God. That people might be healed. They might receive a prophetic word and it would draw them closer to you. The parents would utilize gifts of words of wisdom, a word of knowledge, speak these things over their children, and like me, it would draw them closer, inch by inch, closer and closer to a relationship with Jesus. We thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name.